Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, whereas I once associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the association of the devotees. Purport. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Thakur explains, the word bahirmukha refers to a person who is very busy tasting material enjoyment. Such a person always poses himself as an enjoyer of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being attracted by external opulence, the non-devotee always forgets his intimate relationship with Krishna. Such a person does not like the idea of becoming Krishna conscious. This is explained by Srila Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5-31. Matirna Krishna Paratatav Svatova Mitho Pibadjaita Krihavratananam Adanta Gobir Vishitam Tamishram Puna punas charvito charvananananam. Na te viddu svatagatim vivishnum. Durasayaye bahirarthamaninaha. Andhayathandir upaniyamanasna tepi shatantriyam tantriyam urudam nibhadah. Materialists who are overly attracted to the material body, material world and material enjoyment, who cannot control their material senses, are carried to the darkest regions of material existence. Such people cannot become Krishna conscious, either by themselves or by congregational effort. Such people do not understand that the goal of life for a human being is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. A human life is especially meant for this purpose, and one has to go through all kinds of penances and austerities and set aside the propensity for sense gratification. Materialists always remain blind because they are always guided by blind rascals. A materialistic person considers himself free to act as he likes. He does not know that he is rigidly controlled by the stringent laws of nature, nor does he know that he has to transmigrate from one body to another and perpetually rot in material existence. Such rascals and foolish people are lured by the prayers of their foolish leaders for sense gratification, and they cannot understand what is meant by Krishna consciousness. The material world exists outside the spiritual sky, and the foolish materialist cannot estimate the extent of this material sky. What then can he know of the spiritual sky? Materialists simply believe their imperfect senses and do not take instructions from the revealed scriptures. According to Vedic civilization, one has to see through the authority of the revealed scriptures. Shastra Chakshuhu. One should see everything through the medium of the Vedic literature. In this way, one can distinguish between the spiritual world and material world. Those who ignore such instructions cannot be convinced of the existence of the spiritual world, because they have forgotten their spiritual identity. Such materialists take this material world as the all-in-all. They are therefore called Bahir Mukha. And translation, once again, peruse and kindly repeat after me. Whereas I once associated with the disciples of logic, all non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarian ocean of the association of devotees. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastarya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Upaschasute Sutarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bancha Kalpa Trubascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha. Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dear devotees, seeking the blessings and mercy of all the assembled and unassembled Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, so that I can say something meaningful, particularly take the blessings of Her Grace Shikama Mataji seated there. Kindly bless me, Mom, for I need your guidance and association and mercy. Thank you so much. Prabhu's this chapter, very, very exciting chapter, actually. One of my favorites, I would imagine so. And just to recap, because we're coming towards the end of the chapter, it's 221 verses, and we're now 185 now, or 184 onwards. And so I thought we'd just recap a little bit. And the recap is given to us none other than our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great pioneer over there, seated right on top of us on the right. And in his Amrita Pravabhasya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this chapter as follows. The king of Orisha, Maharaj Bhatraprudra, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He really tried and tried, didn't he? And Srila Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. And this went on and on and on. And at one point I was thinking, come on, my Lord, give him a break. Give him a Kit Kat. But it went on and on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't see him. So at that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan. And he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. And the next day, when Ramananda Rai again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request once again, asked Ramananda Rai to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord dressed like a Vaishnava. They actually dressed him like Krishna. His dark complexion, he had a yellow dhoti on. Nice, majestic attire. and he looked like Krishna. So he visited the Lord, and then the prince, when he was there in front of the Lord, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. The Lord, you know, immediately, naturally remembers Krishna, doesn't he? Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Patra Parudra. And after this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gundija temple before the Rath Yatra festival. The Rath Yatra took place before it takes place, and he does this every year. He then took his bath at the Indrajumna lake and partook of prasad in the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundicha, a Gaudiya Vaishnava washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. Wow. This incident is very significant, for it evoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then the son of Advaita Prabhu, named Gopala, fainted during the kirtan. And when he did not come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. Now, Lord Advaita has many sons. He has 10 sons, I believe, and 3 of them are pure devotees. The eldest is Achyutananda. Achyutananda, he's considered to be like an expansion of Lord Chaitanya, an empowered personality. And one time, his mother, Sita Thakurani, was offering some kheer to the Lord on the altar. And along comes Achyutananda, and he sees the kheer and he takes it. And of course, it's meant for the Lord. And so his mother gets very, very upset. And she slaps him, because she's so very attached to Lord Chaitanya, Sita Thakurani. She slaps him. And the following day, of course, the Lord appears. And when the Lord comes along and she sees that the Lord's, you know, right cheek has slap mark. And of course, she had slapped her son. And then she realizes the position of her very own son. That's Achyutananda. And then he has, they've named him Krishnadas, the second son. He's considered to be the expansion of Kartikeya, who is the eldest son of Lord Vishnu, Sadashiva, Lord Shiva, because you know Lord Advaita is an expansion of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva, and then the third son is this Gopal who fainted, and of course he's considered to be the expansion of Lord Ganesh. So there was also some humorous talk during this chapter, humorous talk between Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita during prasadam. Lord Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda Prabhu was unknown to anyone and that he was not the duty, and that he was not the duty of a householder, brahmana, to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. So there's interesting joking going on. In answer to his humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied to Advaita Acharya, and that Advaita Acharya was a monist, and that one could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonalist. Of course, Lord Advaita is pretending, isn't he? The conversation of these two Prabhus, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. This is what the Thakur Bhaktanod is telling us. After all, the Vaishnavas finished their luncheon, Swarup Damodar and others took their prasadam within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw the Jagannath deity after the period of the deity's retirement. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was accompanied by all the devotees, and all of them were very pleased. And thus the chapter ends. So this was just a description and summary of the chapter. And in the purport here of our verse 184, there are two verses given from the seventh canto, very relishing verses, which Prahlad Maharaj chants. And the fifth chapter of the seventh canto, 30 and 31, and Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their unalloyed senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. This was the translation given to us by Srila Prabhupada of the 30th verse, and Prabhupada's purport is quite extensive. In this verse, Prabhupada mentions the words matir na Krishne. Matir na Krishne refer to devotional service rendered to Krishna. So-called politicians, erudite scholars and philosophers who read Bhagavad Gita try to twist some meaning from it to suit their material purposes, but their misunderstandings of Krishna will not yield them any profit. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport of this beautiful verse, is quoting the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita, as we know, on Wednesday it was Gita Jayanti, and His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj went through the Bhagavad Gita very sweetly and nicely. Of course, he's also translated the Bhagavad Gita in German. Jagat Priya Mataji, you'd probably know that, you may have even read it. And Sachinanda Maharaj is the one who's translated it. Of course, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhus, I kid you not, but 51 and a half centuries have passed since the recitation by the Lord on this battlefield. It must have been in the month of December. And that's why we have Christmas. But in the month of December, must have been pretty cold, isn't it, in Kuruksetra? The battlefield, it's like, 40 miles across. It's like the size of London. And upon which, if you count the Akshohini divisions, 13 and 9 and some 5.76 million Kshatriyas must have come to an end. However, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions 640 million entities perish. It's like 10 times the population of our UK. A large number. So that was, the recitation of the Bhagavad Gita. And the 31st verse, because it's also been quoted in our purport here, we have to look at the translation. The translation given of the 31st verse by His Divine Grace: persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life. I just keep thinking of myself. And who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made very strong cords, which are made of very strong cords. And they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Pretty lengthy translation, and the purport is quite substantial as well, which really much, very much Prabhupada naturally he goes through saying something about the Mayavadis as well, which he normally likes doing. And of course, here in our verse 184, the Bhattacharya, very sweetly, he's mentioning his good fortune in one sense. Whereas I once associated with the disciples of logic, the Bhattacharya mentions, and now I'm receiving the merciful association, an ocean of devotees. And he's so very happy that so many devotees are there in Puri because of Mahaprabhu is he's there. And so now and again, you know, when Mahaprabhu throws the towel and he says, I'm going to leave. If you're going to get me to do this, if you're going to get me to see the king, I'm going to leave. So then he says, no, please. Then the Bhattacharya is very conscious of it because he knows that if Mahaprabhu leaves, then possibly all these Vaishnavas would also leave and they may go with him. And so that's the reasoning. The Bhattacharya Sarvabhuma is also known as Vasudev Bhattacharya. And he's the son of Maheshwar Viswarad. Maheshwar Viswarad is the father's name. And the family resided, they inhabited in Vidyanagar. There are plenty of Vidyanagars. This particular Vidyanagar, there's even one in Gujarat. Gujarati. This is a village which lies about 2.5 miles away from both Navadvip and Champahati. Mataji might have been there. Champahati, yes. Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya was a student of Prakashadhar Mishra. He's a student of him. And Prakashadhar Mishra, he was the head professor at that time of what was at that time India's leading school of logic, Nyaya. Logic is Nyaya. In Mithila, in the state of Bihar, this is where the Bhattacharya was educated. And the Bhattacharya was such a brilliant, brilliant personality. He would memorize anything and everything. Anything that he would read, he would immediately memorize it. Such was his brilliance. And he opened his own school of logic. And although the Bhattacharya was indeed a grihastha, even when Mahaprabhu, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornitai Bhagavan ki jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. And even though he's a grihastha, the Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, he did take Kshetra Sannyas and he would not set foot outside Jagannath Puri. He remained there till the end of his days. Gadadhar Pandit also took Kshetra Sannyas, and as we know, he actually broke that because of a higher purpose. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he remained there. And when Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu came to Puri for the very first time, by that time, the Bhattacharya had already been in his late 70s. Some books mentioned to us, some of the books mentioned to us that it was 79 when Mahaprabhu came to Puri. So in one sense, I always tend to think that the Bhattacharya Sarvabhauma is the Lord Advaita of Puri. Because in Jagannath Puri you have Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and in Navadvip you have Lord Advaita Acharya. So such are the pastimes of the Lord. These are very, very sweet verses we're going through, full of exceptional nectar. Exceptional nectar. Very, very personal indeed, the relationships between all the incredible devotees. And of course, Prabhu's time is ticking, and I have little left of it. We are upon the 17th day of the marathon. Tis the 17th day. And I'd like to take this opportunity to truly wholeheartedly thank the devotees who are going out and door to door and books and streets and everything and whatnot. We have a goal over there. I'm reading 51 doors to knock, door to door, Gauranga Shore. And 17 days have passed, not many left. We're not halfway through. So I've got to do my bit. I must get out there and knock on some doors. Whenever I knock on doors, I'm very much reminded of the campaign years when we used to knock on doors frequently, every Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday night, and on and on, because of the campaign. Of course, that was the great urgency, but the urgency is there every day. So, Nila Madhava Das, get that into your head. Get out there. Yesterday, I had a very, very pleasant call from our general in the north. Our general in the north is Antaranga Prabhu. Tis the general. And he gave me a little report. Vishwakarma Mataji, this is very sweet. He's in Liverpool, and you know, he's stopping everyone, and he stopped one particular young gentleman. There are many young gentlemen there who are devotees. We just have to rope them in. And this young gentleman, he said to him that, "I've just been given an inheritance. My uncle's passed away, and his name was Richard. And I've been given this inheritance. You've got to come to the house and pick it up." So Antaranga's thinking, "Oh, wow, what? We got to pick something up?" "Yes, it's an inheritance. And it belonged to my uncle. And it obviously, I'm the next of kin. I'm the nephew. So please come and pick up what I have." So Antaranga's thinking, he's quite intrigued. You see, what's this going to be? So they go to their house, the devotees go there after the Sankirtan. I hope they did a full day of Sankirtan. He then goes to the house and he enters the room and he's shocked, because Bhakta Richard, who now passed away, he's got over 90 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam in his house. There's 90 sets of the old sets, Sri Kama Mataji, the old sets, the black ones. If you remember the small black ones, you know, printed in some 35, 40 odd years back in the 80s, late 80s, whatever it was. And this devotee, Bhakta Richard, has been collecting them. He's got over 90 sets. That's over 11,000, you know, book points. It's staggering. And so, of course, you know, our general Antaranga, he was in ecstasy. picked up all these books and took them back to the base. And they're in the front living room of the base in Liverpool. So we've got a festival there on the 4th, after the marathon. On the 4th of January, we have a nice festival there. Anturanga's hired a beautiful venue. Do get up there. I'm really praying that I'm going to be taken up there. So there are many, many, you know, pastimes, because Liverpool is so very close to us. Now it is, yes, 165 miles away, but it is very, very close to us because His Grace, Sriman George Harrison Prabhu, and the Beatles. So naturally, you know, we have a connection. So by this time, Shikama Mataji, do bless the devotees that we have a staggering, brilliant center there and a beautiful temple yet to come, because they're the devotees, you know, they're stopping devotees, they're stopping devotees, and when they're stopping them, like the other week, the general stops someone, and this young chap, he takes his headphones out, and he says, look what I'm listening to, and he's listening to Srila Prabhupada. And there's so many, you know, so many accounts like that. So it's just a matter of, so we just got to get there. Of course, you know, it was occupied by the Scottish devotees many moons ago. And hence, we couldn't get our foot in there. But now, it is our territory. And I'm very much looking forward to going there once again. Yes, indeed, take the opportunity to really thank the devotees who are out there. Our general in the south, where we are, is indeed, you know, Divyanam Prabhu. Divyanam Prabhu is out on door-to-door every day and is encouraging me to come out there, Neela Madhava, so I've got to get out there. So a big thank you to all the devotees. Of course, I do recollect, because I was in the marathon of 1990. Deepak, you might remember our global, you know, the GBC came up with a global theme, and cassettes were sent to all the temples. Cassettes in those days, it was cassettes, wasn't it, Priyojan Prabhu? Not blinking CDs and whatnot we have now, cassette players. So we should put it in the car, the cassette. And we had a big full-size poster of Srila Prabhupada standing, if you might remember that, full-size. And the cassette, you know, the song went like this. Prabhupada is calling, come out and Sankirtan, distribute books, and be happy. It's a worldwide marathon. You know, the Americans. Prabhupada is calling. So it's wonderful. That was wonderful. That was back in 1990. And so I was always contemplating on that cassette, because I don't know what happened to that cassette, because I don't have a cassette player now. One Saturday afternoon, after the morning program, I was scheduled to go out. I had a white Vauxhall Astra Estate, a G registration, white Astra Estate. We used to have a fleet of Vauxhall Astras Estates. And so I was ready to go out, and my partner at that time was Prajumna Prabhu, who had abandoned me that particular day, and he expected me to go out alone. So I went to the car. It was pretty cold and the ruddy thing wouldn't start. I just couldn't get out there. I'd call the AA and whatnot, but it wouldn't start. And I'm thinking, oh, I was really frantic. Because what I would do is I would make, you know, records of every day what I'm doing and then what the target was. And so I had to, you know, bring in a certain amount of Lakshmi. Forget the books. It was the Lakshmi for me. Anyway, I had this target and I was really struggling. And I was thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I can't walk. I can't walk. back then, you know, it wasn't Dharam Marg. You had to walk through the village and go down there, and it was too long to, you know, in the cold. Where am I going to go? No one's going to give me a lift. So what am I going to do? So I came back inside the building and went upstairs into the patron office, and I sat there sulking and miserable and depressed. What should I be doing? By this time, you know, I'd wasted enough time. It was like already midday. And fortunately for me, upstairs, because we had this intercom, Bhagwan Prabhu had installed this intercom system. Anyone remember the intercom? Sri Kama Mata, you probably did. Rioan had one in the workshop. And this intercom, it was wonderful. You know, this is from technology from the 80s. You can't get it now. You know, nothing survives that long now. And this technology, which was the intercom system, it went everywhere from the Brahmachari ashram to the ladies' cottage, the Kalanganath cottage, the workshop behind. You know, there was probably one gadget in the Goshala. So anyway, the intercom went on from the receptionist downstairs here. I think at that time, the receptionist was Manogya Prabhu. Manogya is now the wife of Patanjali Muni. So Manogya was doing the reception, and intercom went on. And so I said, yes, it's me in the patron office upstairs. And she says to me that there's this young gentleman here, and he wants to buy some books. I said, what? Someone wants to buy books? Yeah, I'm coming down. Don't contact anyone else. I'm here. So I rushed right the way down. I literally missed a couple of steps and came straight running into here. And I met this young gentleman. His name was Ajay Mishra. He had a nice little beard. He must have been in his early 30s. I was in my wee young early 20s. I still feel like I'm in my early 20s now and again. Anyway, I had a nice nice conversation with him, and he says to me, I want to buy all your books. I said, wonderful, come to my car right now. And then, you know, my hand around him, his shoulder, make sure that no one else grabs him. My shoes were on the other side. I said to him, listen, just stay right here. Because his shoes are out here, isn't it? I said, don't talk to anyone. I'm coming right. So I just ran. Priyojan Prabhu, I ran down the corridor, put my shoes on immediately, came round, took him straight to my car. Sold him the Bhagavatam, sold him the CC, sold him anything I had in the car. And he gave me his address, and he had his office. His office was up towards Aylesbury, further up actually, up the A1, towards Peterborough. And I said to him, I'm going to visit you as soon as my car is fixed. So anyway, I was over the moon because, you know, I had done all these books. And I was so very happy. And then I thought to myself, now I can put my feet up. I've done my Sankirtan. I'll just wait for everyone to turn up in the evening, and I won't say a word. And this was, I was reminded by this particular incident, because in the car, as coming down from home to the manor, I was listening to his Grace Shruti Dharma Prabhu, because I've got all his recent lectures. Now, the Chandra Prabhu has done me such a favor. It's the only thing he's done for me, given me a CD of all Prabhu's lectures. And in there, Shruti Dharma Prabhu was mentioning about how the winter marathon began the birth of the Christmas marathon. And it all began in Los Angeles, not at the manor. In 1972, December the 22nd. And that's when the marathon actually began. So I don't want to go into the details because it's 8:30 already. So Prabhu's once again, third time, want to take the opportunities to thank and pay obeisances to the devotees who are going out on Sankirtan. really, really praying hard. Sri Kama Mataji, please give us the blessings that we knock on 51,000 doors. We're not halfway yet. And we're already on the 17th day. Of course, if any of the devotees, you know, going out on Harinam today, Deepak probably might be going out, just pretend you're knocking on all these shops and then log it down and just send the result that, yes, on Harinam we've done, you know, 51,500 businesses. But thank you, Prabhus. We will conclude here. Grantharaj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Thank you. Any questions and comments? Well, comments gladly accepted. Any questions? Priyojan Prabhu's here, and so is Mother Sri Kama Mataji is here. But any comments and questions? Breakfast is getting cold, I must say. Yes, Prabhu.
Harikrishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class.
Thank you.
I think the purpose, the purport mentioned about the word Bahirmukha. So in your terms, like, how would you define what does Bahirmukha mean?
Oh my Lord, why do you have to, you know, state such a blinking technical term, Bahirmukha? It's the very last word of the purport. Arun, it is Arun, isn't it? Arun Krishna. Akhanda Krishna. Oh, wow. Akhanda Krishna. What a beautiful name. It's the very, very last word, Bahir Mukh. Mukha means mouth. Bahir, I'm not quite sure. I'd have to look it up. Anyone?
Outside.
Outside. Outside. Outside.
That means external.
External and internal. What, the Mukha? Wow, such a wonderful experience. Did everyone get that? Did everyone get it? Or do you want a mic? Wonder, so you got that? Thank you so much. And this is why, you know, she has the advantage of knowing Bengali. You know, I couldn't even read a word of, you know, Bengali. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Mataji. Well, on the web. Hopefully there's thousands upon thousands of devotees, you know, listening to the class.
You know, you mentioned about washing the important personalities' feet and drinking the water. Why isn't it a done practice nowadays, if it's that important?
Oh, yes.
It's special.
Yes, yes. I this was the devotee who did this, did some brahmana, who then washed the Lord's feet, and the Lord permitted it. Of course, you know, when the Lord is cleaning the Gundicha, Kalidas Pandit one particular year turns up. And if those of you who may know, Kalidas is the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he really likes to take the remnants of the devotees. And what he did that particular year is as the Lord's feet were washing, he collected that water and he took that, and Mahaprabhu allowed it. But Mahaprabhu also got quite upset, because naturally devotees are exceptionally humble and they wouldn't want that to happen. Just like, you know, sometimes, of course, when I used to sit next to Shruti Dharma Prabhu taking prasadam, and then Pranabandhu Prabhu on one side, Shruti Dharma Prabhu would try to kind of finish his prasadam, and then I had the good opportunity of taking, whether it's the water or... So it's devotees are reluctant. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want my blinking feet washed at all. Forget it. I tried it. I did try it with our Jnanivas Prabhu. Jnanivas Prabhu was here last year, and we were so very fortunate to have his association for several weeks, and not months. And we took him to one particular house. Of course, his feet were cold. And if, you know, if his feet were not so cold, we had the opportunity. I was at his feet, and I was really, I was going to take his socks off. And because, you know, he was oblivious to what was really going on. He's 80 years old. He was 79. And it was summertime. I think he would have allowed it. But, you know, we then thought, no, his feet were cold. But anyway, not all the devotees are that merciful. I do recollect we went to, this was many moons ago, we went to one of our patrons' houses. His name was Sudarshan Sharma. And there was about 6 to 8 devotees and myself present. Rupa Raghunath was there. Rupa Raghunath from Vrindavan. And anyway, this particular household had a custom of, you know, washing the feet of the devotees. And at that time, and of course, you know, the devotees there agreed. I was reluctant. It is the custom, especially if the spiritual master or an elevated Vaishnava, you know, if a personality visits you at home, then it is the custom to perform that. However, you know, devotees are naturally very humble, and so would refrain from such beautiful activity. Of course, you know, Jnanivas Prabhu, you know, I had his feet right there, and if only his feet were warm, almost clinched it, almost done it. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, allowed us to do that, but this was several moons ago, many moons ago. But that's there for the spiritual master on Vyasa Puja. You know, it's there if the spiritual master is merciful. Thank you, Prabhus. Mataji, anything else to add on to that?
Well, I was just wondering, what does it do for you? Is it purifying?
Yes. You know, getting even the remnants of the devotees, it's so very... I mean, for a person like me, I would love the remnants. I did pinch some remnants from Priyojan Prabhu several months ago. Of course, then he kind of noticed that I did it. And, you know, he's, no, you can't do that. Mother Kalangna was very merciful. That was very magnanimous of her. So for people like me, you know, I mean, if we... Breakfast, Prabhus, do allow me in there, and I can just take a little from all your plates, and it will be so very important for me. Shukama Mataji, please, you know, it will be. I mean, the few. I think it was last year we were sitting around the table on one of the in one of the festival programs for the 50th. And I was very fortunate to sit around the elevated Vaishnavas, and I was very persuasive, and it was only Mother Moksha Lakshmi who had given me a little remnants. So I was very fortunate. Such remnants, I mean, if you look through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the remnants of the devotees is so very important. You know, it has such incredible potency, and hence such an exceptionally elevated personality like Kalidas Pandit, is an incredible zamindar, a very affluent person. And yet he goes to a poor Vipra Brahmana house, Jada Pandit, and he waits for the Brahmani, the wife of the Brahmana, Jada Pandit. He waits for her to discard the mango skin and the waste of the mango. And he then, Kalidas, goes there where the dogs go, and he takes that. And this is such an elevated personality. You know, he's no ordinary person. He is the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. A zamindar, a powerful merchant, a multi-billionaire in today's terms, in acting in such an incredible, humble way. Prabhu, sorry, it's coming up to 9:15 now. Thank you so very, very much. Once again, Grantharaj, Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.